Agile Revolution. We're podcasting at the Year 2015 in Brisbane. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Craig. And look who we found.
Yeah, walking down the corridor, Dave Thomas, the...
Which one?
Yeah, the OO Dave Thomas. Dave.
The one that sort of waved his hand at us and tried vaguely to run away.
So how are you enjoying the conference this year, Dave?
Oh, it's a great conference. I think it's pretty easy. As long as the attendees enjoy it and the speakers enjoy it, then it's a good event. And always great to be back in Brisbane, and I think people appreciate it being here, so great.
What do you think it is that makes Yao so successful? I mean, obviously we've got great named speakers here, and it's great we've got almost 600 people here in Brisbane, the same in the other cities. What's the secret key?
I think it's really just that it's done for the right reasons. I mean, it's pretty simple. Basically, it started from a community. You know, basically, hey, we can't get speakers here. We can't get our boss to send us to the U.S. or Europe, or sends one of us every 10 years. Or my boss goes and only takes the trolley. And since it started from that reason, and it's not run by a big commercial engine, so there's no agenda. It is fiercely independent, which sometimes makes it challenging to get sponsors who always want to pimp their speaker. But I think the people appreciate that we present a different set of viewpoints, and they get to hear different opinions. And every once in a while, someone from a major corporation goes into the wrong room and hears something they never expected to hear, and that works out pretty well. I've divorced a few couples that were traveling together with the same company shirts on and said, no, you're in the wrong room, you need to go there. And they've come back smiling and say, hey, you know, but for being deflected and going in the wrong room, I went and never learned about that. So I think the variety and the fact that, the team, the community, I think, really cares about it. We get lots of support, and the interaction with the users group is just great. So I think it's just when you have a community, things happen. And so we're very appreciative to be part of the Australian community.
Yeah, I think it's really excellent, the fact that you've got a good diversity, too, of the speakers. So the feedback that I've heard just walking around listening to people is, whilst it's software-oriented, there's still those other pieces to the puzzle that actually revolve around the software. So that's the feedback you hear a lot.
Well, I think we're fortunate to have an independent PC of global people. And basically every speaker in the bar last night, at the archive, basically had two speakers as their first time here coming up to me suggesting, give me a list of speakers and offering to introduce them. And so on, and that also helps. Basically, when the speakers have a good experience, they're keen to support the conference, and each of them came with three or four names of great speakers. And sometimes it's just the relationship to the speakers that gets them here. The fact that they've got a brother or sister in Australia or something like that, and that they usually hear at a certain time of year. We use every trick in the book we can to try and get people here. Tell them, Simon Baton Jones and John Hughes are very good friends, and when I invited them, I heard they were getting together for a little workshop in Europe. So I sent them each of them an email inviting each of them and saying that the other one had agreed to come.
and
that's right. And they both laughed and sent the note. Sounds like a great idea. We haven't been to Australia, so sometimes you get lucky.
Fantastic.
It'd be remiss of me to ask you, I can't believe we've gone to only 100 plus episodes and actually have never had this Dave Thomas on the podcast.
Yeah.
You were one of the early members, one of the founding members of the Agile Alliance. But you told me the story before, though. You were supposed to be at Snowbird. Is that correct?
Well, the original thing, basically, I came up with the idea of having this discussion of lightweight processes and the Agile. I was a founding director of the Agile Alliance. But I said we really need to have this discussion and try and ideally, I was trying to get rid of the branding. I just said, look, let's find something that's common and talk about the values and not Scrum versus XP or whatever it is. And so then, I know Bob Martin and Martin Fowler, Alistair, a bunch of people kind of got behind the idea. And I said, I organized this. I live in the Caribbean in Anguilla, where we just held SpeakerCon. And so I said, this would be great. So everybody says, this is great. We're going to go to Anguilla. And then... Alistair Coburn says, well, I can't make that, and so I think we should have it in Snowbird. And I just said, well, unfortunately, I can't go to Snowbird, so the The other Dave Thomas went to Snowbird. He signed it. I didn't, but anyway, I signed soon after. But you know, the right things happened, and that's a good thing. I think that this the challenge is actually to remember, what Lean really says is think and learn, and that's the kind of, I think, the trap that the agile, and I think actually it's because of the brands, that we didn't succeed in sort of cracking the branding. And the Big Agile conference is a lot about managing the brands and the consultants and so on. And I think that's unfortunate that we didn't get a strong enough kind of mixture of kind of users, consumers, different kind of skills in the Agile community. And I think that's one of the challenges that the Agile community has.
I think it's sorting itself out. I mean, you listen to people like Uber, Netflix. I mean, they're not going around talking about their Agile process. They're just talking about how they're getting stuff done.
I think all the people we've known have basically, I did a keynote at the Agile conference. I can't remember when it was, 2012 or something like that. And whenever it was 10 years or something. And I, basically, Agile as it was then is really kind of done. Anyway, so, it's a funny story.
But it seems the two Dave Thomases are actually on the same...
Oh yeah, well, actually,
same wavelength.
No, the funny story is when Prag Dave wrote the book, Eric Gama was working for me, and Eric called me up and he's really angry. He said, "You never told me you were writing this book." I said, "Eric, I'm running a company. I don't have time to write books." I said, "People write books don't have time to build software, and we're building software and time to write books." And he says, "Well, come on." He says, Ward Kimes, also a good friend of mine, Ward's run the introduction, and it sounds, pretty much like you. And I said, "Oh, thank God." He said, "So it's a good book?" I said, "Great, I got brand protection for life."
Sensational.
I gave a talk in Japan, and the people ran up with the book to be signed, right? And then the first person was so embarrassed, that he got the wrong Dave Thomas, that he was like apologizing all week. So I went to another event, and when the person came up with the book, I just signed it. He's a great guy, done a great job with us here, and we're actually talking about doing, we just spoke together in Amsterdam, and side by each, he's just volunteered. I'm hoping to be able to start, doing things that create jobs in Vietnam and the Philippines and so on. So we're talking about volunteering and video projection of top speakers and so on in those countries. And he just volunteered while we were out in the catamaran cruise that he would really like to participate in that. So, and it's great to see also people changing. He switched to Elixir, and you can talk about that. I met with Eric Gama, who's just written the new IDE for Microsoft. It's all written in JavaScript. And one of the interesting things Eric says, it took him, and he's a crack developer, it took him over 3 months to transition from Java to JavaScript. I think more people need to hear about the fact you can do the transition, but it's also not, you don't just go down in a week or two and pick up the new thing. And so when you hear people with experience talking about, here's what I had to do to unlearn what I knew and learn new things, I think that's really healthy, because a lot of people get stuck in one technology.
It might be nice to have the Dave and Dave show side by side one day.
Yeah. Who knows?
Perhaps at Yale.
Yeah. Well, he's really enjoyed it, so I think we'll see him back.
I was lucky enough to do the track host for that, and I can say it was a really, really, really good tour.
No,
and the audience participation at the end was great as well. I had to cut the questions off. It was a sea of hands.
No, I've seen him two or three places, and it's a great talk. But he's also, as I said, personally and a real contributor, community folks and so on. And I think it's important, really important to see that, hey, I've done this for a while. I could do this forever, but I want to do something else now. And that's... I think that's a lesson we all need to learn, and learn it early, younger and early enough to start switching so we can be with it.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with us, Dave.
Thanks a lot. You guys did a great job. I'll be looking forward to listening to see what secrets I missed at the conference.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Well, there you go. Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas.
The OO Dave Thomas, as opposed to the
pragmatic, Dave Thomas.
The pragmatic versus the OO.
That's right, that's right. Well, but 600 people here, Tony, so...
Let's go for it. I did see Uncle Pete hiding over in the corner.
We should talk to Uncle Pete. It wouldn't be an Agile Revolution at Yao without New Zealand Pete Sell. So, as we walk over here, Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers.
The Agile Revolution.
Watch out for the beam.
he's sitting on the floor lounging there in case his wife's listening. Right, he's doing nothing as per usual.
That's it.
How you doing, Pete?
Hey, I'm good.
So what have you been up to, Pete? You've been travelling all over the world.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough this year. I've been to DockerCon.
Tell us a little bit about that, and you know, because Docker's huge.
Yeah, the focus this year was really around Docker in production, and there was a whole track created for the kind of enterprise. Best talk there was by Capital One, who showed how they were using it for their data research.
Yeah, no industry on Capital One. They were also a really big player at the Agile conference in DC.
So they put their whole containers onto. So everyone was talking about how they were using containers, and then the guy got out a credit card that had their containers, and they would use this between buildings, and everyone was like, "Whoa." So the real focus of that was around Docker in production, and the change to Docker. It talks a lot about plumbing and around the way that you can compose all of these parts, and obviously open source created this container conglomerate group that's got the guys for. So the Core OS guy was there. So there's a big, you know, bit of a Microsoft Linux moment where they like stood up and shook hands and were like, yeah, everyone's happy. Don't know if they're still happy, but yeah.
How's Yao going for you, Pete?
Yao is going awesome. As usual, the keynotes are outstanding. Even the talks today, I've been to the Go, the microservices Go, which the guy is just awesome. The understanding of not just the technology, but the domain that he works in. And, you know, there were some questions, we had some questions around PCI and stuff like that. And he was like, we just don't think like that. And I was like, whoa, that's good. Uber. And it's great to see a talk about failure.
Yeah, it was a great talk, wasn't it? I was in the back of that one.
And the whole
mark. You can imagine someone in Uber head office on that talk going, stop talking about it.
Essentially,
his first line was, we're Uber and we screw things up. And old talk was about how they've screwed things. I mean, honestly, but I don't know about you. I've never caught an Uber before. No. But I almost would go out now and go, maybe I would use Uber.
Yeah, use one. They're really good.
So we've got Uber in Auckland. I know lots of people that have used it.
Was it one car?
I was going to ask if it was a rickshaw, but...
There's none at the moment, because Ruben's here with me. He's the only driver.
Yeah. Well, it's one car, Ruben's here, and his car's still stuck on the Southern Motorway because he can't get to it.
But yeah, no, I haven't, but I will, because the cost compared to using a normal taxi is... The saving is a lot. I don't know. There was a
big thing. It also actually gets there when you want it.
There was a big thing in New Zealand though, around safety though, and they're a bit of scaremongering in the paper and that sort of stuff. So I don't know whether that had an influence on me. But I loved the fact that I wasn't aware that like New Year's Eve was their busiest night.
Makes sense.
And the way that they forward run that stuff to test whether it's going to work, and then we're like, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and like the fact that they don't have technical debt because they've been lazy, you just said technical debt because they had no idea how they were going to scale.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Because we all think of technical debt in one way, and we thought we made the right choice at the time, which is what we do, but now it just dawned because we couldn't foresee the scale that we were getting to, so that was interesting. And then, you know, we've had the likes of Don Reinertsen here, who, you know, it's always awesome.
How many times have you read his book, Pete?
I think I'm on the third reading.
There you go.
I lent it to someone about 3 months ago, and I haven't got it back yet.
So I was going to say, did you lend that to Craig? Because he's missing one.
Oh, I lent mine to him. Yeah.
But even just having a colleague reading it is, for me, great, because you know, the stuff in the book is amazing.
Look out for the podcast. We had a very nice podcast with Don yesterday. He was.
All right. Yep.
Well, great to see you over this side of the pond again. Hey, nice, we'll catch up real soon.
Yep.
So, Pete, I tell you.
Uncle
the,
Pete.
The thing sometimes that go to the cutting room floor, or maybe not.
Well, maybe not. I think that should actually make it right to the show.
All right, let's now go into the huddle. Let's see who we can...
See who we can find. And it's a buzz. It's been a very, very good conference, I must say. I was very impressed with the Dave Thomas, the pragmatic Dave Thomas' session.
Yeah, you were hosting a couple of sessions today,
yeah,
which was
very nice.
Which is good. Just wander right through here.
Us.
The legendary Vox Pops, as per usual, a whole bunch of people and nobody to talk to.
Nobody to talk to, so very easily. You can go... charge around and grab someone.
So tell us about the keynote this morning. Did you see that?
I saw the keynote this morning. I thought that was fantastic. Amazing stuff. Just even the fact that they use a single string. So the keynote this morning, obviously, was landing on Mars. Very nice. Let's go over here and try this bunch of individuals.
All right, then.
All right.
I want a phone to pick with you.
Before
did
you...
they say something about Kiwi?
No. Greetings.
You've got two anyway.
Yeah, greetings and salutations. We're the Agile Revolution podcast. How are you enjoying Yao?
I'm actually loving it. I have to be honest with you. I'm not a programmer. I wish I was after seeing this morning's presentation on Curious. I'm actually part of recruitment and I'm just here to learn it, but it's been amazing. It's really opened my eyes to a lot of different things. I've actually really enjoyed myself.
Fantastic. You were sitting next to me actually with the Mars landing.
Yes, I
was.
What
did you think of that one? I thought it was just sensational.
It was unbelievable. Like, I never realised the people and the programmers in the background that were writing all the code in order for that to be landed. I had no idea. It was a crash course, and yeah, like I said, unbelievable.
Yeah, you can't put that to dumb luck, can you? It's you get one shot at it, and
away you go.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so and I've learned a lot.
That's great. Will you be back next year?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think it's beneficial just to learn what everybody does and, you know, new spaces and causing a movement, as in that Agile presentation earlier. I think that's really important. Yeah.
So Nadine, you are a recruiter, I'll give you the 20-second plug. Who are you recruiting for?
I'm recruiting for Inspire Recruitment. So I've been doing recruitment for a long time now, but they thought it was important for me to come along and learn what developers and programmers are actually doing these days, which has been fantastic.
So where do they find more about Interpro?
Sorry?
Where can they find more out about Interpro?
You can go to our website, or we're just down on Market Street in the Brisbane CBD.
Excellent.
Well done.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys. Oh, hopefully we'll have a drink later. Then I can give you more stick.
Yeah. I'm not going to go
we're
there.
Not even getting into the Kiwi.
Kiwi jokes are your own, Tony. Great to talk to you, Nadine.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. You get yourself in a lot of trouble, Tony.
Oh, I do. But it was fun. It was like poking the bear. Yeah. Let's keep going.
It's usually interesting people that are just around the other side of the corridor. So
see who we can find hiding.
I can see Matt Callanan. I'm going to make a beeline straight for him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's a speaker and... all right, don't go anywhere, you three.
Right, stand still.
Agile Revolution, Matt Callanan, Alex Blaine, Ben Blaine. You're sort of related, I think. Right, Agile Revolution podcast. How's the conference for you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome.
So far, yeah.
Going well, thanks.
Well, Matt, now that you're speaking, coming up a little later on, what can the punters, well, people listening probably aren't seeing it, so what are you talking about?
We're talking about DevOps at What If, making easy right.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Making it easy to do the right thing. Oh, we want to do the right thing, right? When we turn up to work, we want to do the right thing by each other, but often it's hard when there's a chasm between your dev and your ops teams. We're talking about, we ultimately end up doing the easiest thing. So how can we make it easy to do the right thing and get dev and ops talking to each other?
We're talking about how Matt avoided being strangled by Alex's sysadmin.
Well, actually, I was just about to ask that. I was going to say, you guys best of friends when you started out. It seems all nice and cheery now, but I can imagine the starting point.
We had rocky points, yeah. I mean, not us personally, but the organisation, obviously. Yeah. It wasn't completely friction-free, the journey, but you've got to do what you got to do.
And would you say, I mean, obviously here to tell a story, but do you feel from an operations perspective you are in the right place now, or is it?
Well, we're in a completely different place now because we were acquired by Expedia last year. But before that, I think we were really heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
yeah, like things were just light years ahead of where they were.
Cool.
Yeah, it was great.
So what's been the highlight of the conference for you so far?
Oh, that Mars talk, keynote, that was amazing. Like, it's just mind-blowing. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of makes you feel like some of the things you're working on not quite as exciting as putting robots
on. Paper on the government is not kind of...
robots on other planets is what you've always wanted to do,
maybe,
right?
Maybe we need to do a solar system travel company.
Yeah. You can only feel the amount of angst that must have gone through in that 3 minutes. You could just feel it even in that video. It was like, wow. You know, and it puts paid to, you know, we're sitting there waiting for code to run or something. Yeah. Like, a few numbers, not in this case.
Yeah, or when the whole computer shut down, right?
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
It's not like Alex is walking around the room like a cable.
Yeah, I'll just pull that piece of memory out. No.
Heard some guy rabbiting on about Agile is dead. So that was
you know why we put him on the second day.
that was a good talk. So,
well, the word Agile is dead. Let's be very clear about what he was actually saying.
Yeah. Got to find a new bandwagon now. We're almost about to pick up the buzzword Agile.
We'll call it DevOps.
Well, make sure, like you said, make sure you pick up the adjective and not the noun. Or is it the noun and not the adjective?
it's the brand that's the problem. But I think it's great to hear, though, from... You know, when he wrote that post, I remember there was lots of sentiment throughout the community, because everyone has read, you know, it was link bait, right? It's like, Agile's dead. Everyone, ooh, better go read Dave Thomas. But it's true. It's exactly... Yeah, there is so much hype and over...
Get back to the basics.
Yeah, I mean, I go to enough Agile conferences to know that, you know, 80% of the people there are just all spinning, you know, peddling crap. And, you know, that's not the reason, you know, I'm looking at, you know, at least, you know, you two gentlemen who I've worked with in the past, you know, I think we've all gone down the paths for the right reasons. And, because you're on very early XP projects with me, so...
That's it. embrace the roots and try not to get caught up in all the showmanship and the politics.
Absolutely.
And certification. Bring up the fact that we worked on XP many, many thousands of years ago.
Oh, yeah, well, Tony, we're all getting a little older, right? I remember Ben when he was a young whipstapper graduate.
Taught me everything on you, didn't
he? And I remember Matt when he turns up and he said, this is never going to work. And then he was holding on to my trouser pants when they were sending him back to the waterfall ways. There you go. That's right. Well, good luck with your talk a little later on. Great
Cheers.
To talk to you.
Great. Great.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. We got to, what sort of time we got, Tony? We heading... That's a little while. There's a few people wandering around, so see who else we can tag. We do have interviews while we're here, so...
Yes.
Trying to talk to as many of the, particularly the Agile-related speakers, but even a couple of new ones that you might learn from. Come on over here, Nigel.
Come on over.
Nigel Roush, Agile Revolution Podcast, right? I know you run the BrizJS and the Brisbane Ruby community, so...
More the Ruby community these days, so
yeah,
yes.
Hand over the gains. So you're a long-time standing, good guy in the Brisbane community, you know, with running all those things, and you know, we often don't thank the user group community enough, so thank you. How are you enjoying the conference?
Enjoying it very much. Just hosted the Uber... And
microservices and Go.
Which is quite interesting. I think you need to rename the conference to microservice.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's funny. It's 2 years ago with microservices, and now it's the big thing. Yeah.
Well, it's the thing that you know, a number of the
I did an air quote too.
Yeah, you got to do the air quote
just for the people just listening.
The speakers get asked like what they want to talk about, and we sort of invite them. They sort of say what I want to talk about, and all these big luminaries want to talk about microservices. And yeah, it's just like, oh, really? Okay, but. They're interesting, they're all kind of different, which is one was very different from some of the ones yesterday. And
I still wonder about microservices. So I build things for Australian market, and needing to divide stuff out that much in the Australian market, I don't think is quite the right. If it's a worldwide thing, yes. An American market, yes. I don't think the Australian market is anywhere near.
I don't think you're aiming high enough there. You sell yourself short there, Nigel.
Maybe I'm sorry. Well, I'm building customer solutions, so you know, this is what they need. If they have bigger,
requirements, then yes, you need to look at those, I think. But when you're just talking Australian restricted area, yeah. And I know that sounds small, but we're a tiny country, really.
Especially when you look at the greater populace of the world.
It's a style, but I think to me, and I was talking to James Lewis about this, and you can hear the podcast at some later point, to me, it's like it's not the microservices versus monolith argument anymore. It's now just how big should our services be. And so in your case, some people say that a microservice is uber small. You can write in one day stuff. I don't think anybody in this country is in that league of having to do that. But it's like anything. We can keep our stuff small, containable, and maintainable. And that's got to be the thing, right?
Exactly. And structured. Yeah. And when you do have structure in anything, you can then break things out if you do need to.
Yeah.
If you don't have that structure in there, you can't do that type of stuff. So
that's the very reason we this is coming back, is those monoliths, they're just so big, so unwieldy.
Yeah.
That we've reached that saturation point where you can't maintain them easily anymore.
Exactly.
And you've got to undertake massive projects to replace them or slice them.
Yep.
And I think if you get in the slicing trade, that's a better way to go, right?
So, okay. Just worked out with your problem. I was just making sure you weren't thought work. Maybe you need to edit that.
We edit nothing, dude. Last question, Ruby community. So, Ruby community, a lot of people sort of, it used to be the flavour of the month, and it's.
Yep.
But there's lots of really cool things still happening in Ruby. What are some of the interesting things that have your attention?
So, firstly, I'll agree that Ruby is not the cool kid on the block anymore. It hasn't been for a long time, but. So therefore, finding people doing it is a lot harder than it used to be, especially in Brisbane. Melbourne is, and you would have found that out at the Yale conference, that I bet you Dave Thomas was packed out in Melbourne, but nowhere near as busy here. Okay. So JS is the new everything, and all the cool kids go to JS. I'm not a JS lover in the big scheme of things.
Well, if they agree on a framework that would last more than 20 seconds, it would be great.
It would be.
I think Dave made reference to that this morning, actually. So he basically said in his talk, I'm not sure what the latest state of JS, I haven't been on the internet for the last 24 hours.
Exactly. And that's worrying with the whole thing. I think it's getting, the whole JS is getting better now that they're starting to realise that they have to consider these things. The stuff that's getting built in JS is pretty amazing these days, and JS is going to be around a lot longer than many other languages around, and I'd probably even say Ruby, unfortunately, but that's just life. What's happening with Ruby at the moment? Rails is still the main thing with Ruby. It's consistent, it's easy, it's easy to use once you know it. Yeah. I think it's very hard for new people to come into it, but once...
And the core community is still very active, right?
And the core community is very active. They're promoting that Ruby 3. The goal is for it to be 3 times faster. That could be a good thing. In the meantime, I use it every day, enjoy it every day, and love the consistency of knowing what I'm doing and the structure of how I'm building stuff. So, and that's probably where it really comes down to. I'm currently learning Elixir. I've been doing that for the last probably 2 to 3 weeks, just for the sake of expanding that out a little bit more. But apart from that, I'll keep on you.
Potential, do you think, in the future?
I think it has. Again, I don't think I need it in the Australian market. So I'm doing it more for the sake of, hey, this is good to know. But there is not many sites, and of course your site would be one of the examples, but there isn't that many sites in Australia that a Ruby on Rails app can't handle. Okay. Then there's exceptions, of course, but I'm just saying, there's not that many. So therefore, my clients come to me and say, I want to build something, and I can build it in Ruby on Rails rapidly in a structured format, at a lower cost, that's perfect, but it's not everything. If someone came up to me and said, Twitter, and I go, yes, exactly, so, yeah.
Awesome, well, great to talk to you, Nigel.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thank you for the conference, it's been great to be here.
Excellent, thank you.
Cheers, Grace.
Well, Tony, we're getting the chimes, which says,
we need to go and see the next session.
All right, Craig.
So we've got a few more interviews coming up, so look out for those in the channel at some point soon.
So we've got, I believe, Dave Thomas himself coming up
well,
soon.
Well, the other Dave Thomas.
The other Dave Thomas, that's it, yes.
Yeah, lots of good stuff happening. Right. So, talk to you soon, Tony.
Cheers.
And what do we say?
Viva la revolution. Cheers.